giving the Detroit Three car makers a big, big pat on the back, saying, job well done. That's the goal of an event being held tomorrow night at the Henry Ford Museum. It's being put on by the Harvard Business School, arguably one of the nation's premier business schools. They're presenting their case study called The Big Three Roar Back, examining the turnaround of the American auto industry. Harvard Business School professor William George will be among those participating in the panel, and he joins us now. Welcome, Bill.
It's good to be with you.
I dare say it's going to gladden a lot of hearts here in the Detroit area to know that your case study is entitled The Big Three Roar Back, because really it wasn't long ago that so many feared the domestic car industry was on life support in the intensive care unit. What impresses you most about the big turnaround?
Well, let me just give you a little background. I grew up in Michigan, in Grand Rapids, actually, on the west side of the state, where we were basically suppliers to the big three. Mm-hmm. And I can't imagine an American world where we wouldn't have a strong domestic automobile industry. And the idea that we would just let General Motors and Chrysler disappear from the face of the earth is kind of beyond me. I'm not big on government bailouts, I assure you, but I think it's so important to see this tremendous comeback. And our team at Harvard, led by Professors Michael Porter and Jan Rifkin, is looking very hard at U.S. competitiveness. And frankly, this is the very best example that I can find anywhere in the United States of a whole industry that was on its back and is coming back to high levels of competitiveness. It happens to be a unionized industry and is doing it with that understanding with the leaders of the UAW. And I think it's an example of how to get to win-win solutions that are going to win for the company's customers, for the employees, and also for the shareholders.
And it's really looking at what was done both by management and the union workforce.
Well, you know, I think, and I look at the first one who initiated this, of course, was Alan Mulally of Ford. And Alan came from Boeing, and he initiated, along with Bill Ford, discussions with the leaders, Ron Gettelfinger and Bob King of the UAW, discussions about, hey, we have to get serious about being competitiveness with foreign imports, with foreign production plants in the South, if you will, different parts of the country.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can't be competitive, you know, frankly, you're either going to lose all our business or it's all going to migrate offshore. And I think there were some very clear plans put in place. This started back in 2007. And I think ever since then, there's been this heightened awareness of the importance of design, quality, and, you know, cost competitiveness. You know, the fallout, as you know, not just in your area, but all over the Midwest, is tremendous in terms of all the suppliers, everyone there, the dealers around the country, around the world. It's the backbone of the country, and the idea that we're going to be a post-industrial society and we're just going to do service industries, everyone making $10 to $12 an hour, is just a non-starter as far as we're concerned.
As part of the restructuring that took place, and you kind of alluded to this, we definitely saw a major rollback in wages for new hires in the auto industry.
Mm-hmm.
Was that a totally necessary step?
I think it was. I think that gave Ford the confidence we can bring small cars back. For a while, it looked like the automobile industry was going the route of we'll just make trucks and SUVs. Mm-hmm. And as Alan Mulally told me, he said, no, we have to have a full line. How can we go to any dealer and say, okay, you know, you're going to have to go to Japan and get your cars, and we'll provide the trucks and the SUVs. Okay, there's more profit in there, but I think they found a way to be competitive, and I think that was essential. But that did require a collaborative spirit, and I found in talking to Bob King for this case a real collaborative spirit and a real commitment. We want quality products. You know, we want to ensure that the products are quality, and we want to ensure management is investing in the equipment to give our workers the help and really appreciates we can work together. Because, frankly, who knows better about the quality of the automobile than people doing the work? You know, I used to say it, you know, back in my days as CEO of Medtronic. You know, it's the people doing the work that are coming up with the innovative ideas, providing quality in our products. They're the ones that we need to honor. And I think there has been that commitment. And I think you're seeing this is the backbone of the turnaround.
We're talking with Harvard Business School professor Bill George, who's going to be among a panel participating in this panel discussion being put on by the Harvard Business School. And it's looking at the success of the U.S. auto industry. Their case study is called The Big Three Roar Back. And, Bill, in most cases, there are winners and losers in any restructuring. In your opinion, who are the winners and losers in the Detroit Three restructuring and turnaround?
Well, surely the shareholders lost. And I think the bondholders lost. But Ford, I can't say that anyone really lost because they never went through bankruptcy.
Right.
And because of the wisdom of Alan Mulally and his CFO, they implemented a plan to borrow some $23.5 billion to help the company through the difficult times. And because of that, now that money's almost entirely been paid back now, that got them through there. But anytime you go through bankruptcy, there are going to be winners and losers. And frankly, I know that many of the leaders would like to get out from under the ownership of the federal government, and I hope that that will occur. But I think in the long run, you can say we all took some hits. That's true. But I think it's a question we have a short-term view and a long-term view. And if you have too much of a short-term view, you won't be a long-term.
Hmm.
And so I think by taking some short-term steps, now they're taking very important long-term steps. And there's no question that the quality of the car has improved, the design has improved, they're more competitive, consumers are happier. That's why share has been going up. And in part, they got a bit of a break because of Toyota's problems, and Toyota's coming back now. It's a great company and a great competitor, but it's restored that, whereas particularly General Motors had lost 60% of its market share, and you
right.
can't do that.
Right.
That means 60% fewer people want to buy your cars. And for whatever reason, and I don't think it was just price, I think it was more just a question of being competitive in every regard. So when you say you're going to be competitive, it's got to be, we have the best designs. Why should the Germans have all the engineering? You know, we have the best designs, the best quality, and affordable cars across a full line.
You talked about the short-term and the long-term view of things. And let's take a long-term view. And let me ask you, how strong and lasting do you think this turnaround is? Is this a recovery that we can count on and we know it's going to be there in the long term?
I actually do, because steps are being taken to ensure the long-term viability. The capital is being put in. The plants are being built. The cars, the design. You can't just turn out same old kind of automobiles with a few changes. You've got to get ahead to what consumers of the future are going to want. I think one of the most dramatic steps taken, and I credit the leaders, of the big three, for doing this, and was to improve the CAFE standards, which for decades has been resisting. Fuel efficiency is going to be important in the future, and the fact they're going to double those standards between now and 2025 is stunning to me.
Mm-hmm.
The best source of energy in this country, I can tell you, is efficiency, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Much more so than renewables. Maybe in 30, 40 years, the renewables will take a much bigger role, but right now it's a limited role. But this efficiency is critical, because people are going to be sensitive. They're paying $4 a gallon. You know, they want to get mileage. And I think for a while, Detroit had ceded that to the Japanese and to some of the Europeans. I think that's now on a full, more than equal footing. And so I'm very pleased to see, rather than letting the federal government dictate, in this case, the leaders actually took the lead on it, getting it done.
Bill, now that Detroit's auto industry is on a healthier road, what industry are you concerned about for the future? Who's in a precarious position, in your opinion?
Well, we've had a lot in a precarious position,
yeah.
You know, that we've kind of bid goodbye to. And some of them, honestly, won't come back, like textiles. It's a tragedy, but we've lost that industry. High-tech industries must be competitive in this country, because that's the strength of the American entrepreneurship and the American strength. So I'm optimistic. I think banking still has to come forward and say how they're helping the people and not just making money for themselves. And there's so much anger out there. We've got to get past that point, and we're wasting. My biggest concern is healthcare, frankly.
Mm.
And I'm very, very concerned about healthcare. And I think we, even in Detroit, where we have very generous health benefits for workers, it's not viable the way the costs are going. We've got to get at the root causes of poor health. And so that would probably be my number one that I would be most concerned about. The one last thing I'd like to say is that I think Detroit can be a model for the competitiveness of America. And America's got a long way to go, and that's what we're interested in. Is this, and we want to come there to say, can this become a model for every other industry in this country?
Lessons that America can learn from the Detroit Three carmakers about competitiveness, and all being focused on a panel on Thursday evening at the Henry Ford Museum, put on by the Harvard Business School. And we've been talking with Harvard Business School Professor William George, the Big Three roaring back. Thanks for talking with us today, Professor George.
Thank you very much, and thanks for your support of this. We are very delighted to see that there's this level of interest.
Thank you, Professor.